Welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 122. Still going, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm actually quite all right. Are you?
I'm fine.
I thought the other day when I said 120 and said it should be celebrated in some kind of way, I remembered why. If we say the average month has got 30 days, that's four of them. Just saying.
30 days has September, April,
June. Oh, don't get technical. You know, on average. Oh, there's always one, isn't there?
Yeah.
Now, literally, just before we started, Madam decided to bark and talk, and now she's gone mute again. Haven't you?
Yes.
Is it football time? She's also just headbutted a bag, but that was a whole different story. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Deb. CQ, CQ. Oh, Delta Echo Bravo is listening. Liking that. Liking that. How have you been? What have you been up to on this gloriously cold day, if you're in the UK? It's a bit grim, isn't it, Jonathan? It's still muggy, though, considering it's 15 degrees. I do like it colder than that. I've still got a fan on, so clearly warmer than I like it. Let's just leave it at that. Warmer than I like it. I've had shenanigans here, Mike, with an app.
Which app?
It's that recorder app that I use. Now, I really like it. It's on iOS. But the problem I've got with it is, a while back, and I discussed it on MacBites, it started prompting me. I've got the pro version. There are free versions, but I've got the pro version. And it started saying, it started basically putting adverts up inside the app, which annoyed me. And I've gone in now, and it's got this thing that's come up, and it says there's an update available. When you tap it, it takes you out to a totally different app. I've been onto the developer, got no response. It feels like it's hacked some kind of way. It doesn't feel good. Who uses something to record on their iOS devices? Give me an alternative. I think I've tried them all. The reason I don't use the built-in one, the memo thing, that used to cut out on me after like 10 minutes, which doesn't work for me. I've been known to record 7 hours on this thing. And, you know, the app itself is great. It's just, I don't like getting messages like that, that when you tap them, take you out to the app store and will want you to purchase something else. That's not really acceptable. So that's what I've been up to. Oh, and we're in the middle of some spreadsheet toys, aren't we, Mike?
We are.
It was a simple job. Famous last word.
It's never a simple
job. No, it never is a simple job.
No.
Hey, it'd make a good demo if we can actually get it working.
Yeah.
Mm. You notice the if in there. So it's not very good tonight, bit dull. It's very dark here, very, very dark. So it looks like rain, but it's still that kind of muggy, yicky, summery sort of thing that passes for summer in the UK. I finally... You'll be glad to know. You know that link last night that was eluding me and driving me insane? The one where I said there was going to be 120,000 deaths according to those in the know. And then it had disappeared. I found it. There it is. That's just scary. Are you going to share what you got today? He made such an impact on him, he's totally forgotten. The Billy Do about going back to work, let's all have a laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned a month, didn't they?
September.
Didn't say what year, though.
No.
So, I'm thinking 2022 at the earliest.
Hmm.
What are you thinking?
2023.
Good, works for me. They can't have it. It doesn't work like that. They can't have it that they unceremoniously one day say, right, you're working from home, you know, without a buy your leave. No option to be furloughed, you notice.
Mm.
Right. It's just expected that you'll rock up with somewhere to work at home,
yeah,
and then immediately say, right, you're back in now. No, 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 no. I'm used to him being here now, so now we can scrap over you.
So is the dog.
Exactly. Yeah, you just say the dog would have separation anxiety.
Yeah.
Not to mention Elaine. Yeah, and you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of Elaine. Mac bites, and so does Elaine.
Yeah.
Hello, Debbie. You forgot to set the alarm. It's all right. A lion's okay. A lion's okay. All I've shared so far is the 120,000 deaths. What do we think of that? Is it all hooey? Because they're very esteemed people that have put that paper together. And then you look at Boris and Michael Gove and think, Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Or Laurel and Hardy. Now, I've got that image in your head, Jonathan. It will never go. I just think with the two of them, no. I think it will flare up again, but I don't know how badly. In fact, we have an area not that far from us, which is called Blackburn, where they are not back in lockdown yet, but they are being requested to wear face coverings as soon as they leave the house. And the rate per 100,000 is shocking, apparently. Do you know how close that is to us, Jonathan? Hello, Kim. Kim's in the house. It's depressing. It's depressing. But in the middle of all of this, there's a care home putting a smile on our face. Did you see this, Mike, about the album covers? It's genius.
No.
Oh, look at this link. It's fabulous. The one of David Bowie. Absolute genius. In fact, all of them are really good. There's a programme that we have on the TV here in the UK. I've never seen it. I can't even remember the name of it. But the essence of the show is that three-year-olds and kindergarten kids go to visit people in a care home, the elderly. I think in the States they're seniors, aren't they? And apparently it works wonders for both groups of people. And I thought that album cover thing was pretty similar. You know, do you remember the one? I can't remember the name of that either. There was a choir of people from a care home. Do you remember? They got in the charts. Wasn't it Our Generation?
Don't remember.
Oh, it must have been about 5 or 6 years ago. I'm probably going to find out it's 15 now. I did that the other day. Shocked myself. Let's have a look. Care home, choir. TV. Let's see if I can find it there. No, that'll be 2020. No. Wasn't the choir either. Oh, I can't remember. And the thing is, once they'd done theirs, everybody kind of... I'm sure it was My Generation. Let's see if I can find it there. Because the song was like not what you would think. No, I'm just getting care homes. Oh, for crying out loud. Let's try choir. See if I can find it that way. Google, why can't you... The Zimmers. 2007. The Zimmers. Do you not remember?
No.
Oh, it was fantastic. Don't you remember that bloke at the beginning? Not him. The elderly fella. He was on a Zimmer, I think. Do you know him? Oh, it was fantastic. It was, well, you know, it was kind of like putting children with the elderly and it works for both. There you go, the Zimmers. It was a very British thing. But it was fantastic and it put a smile on everybody's face. What can you say? So Debbie said...
Do you want to go in the garden?
The gyms are closed again. No. There's no way you're going to work out, even with their senior hour. I'm not surprised. I think there's things they can do, but... Surely there's a lot of shared areas, even if they've got like the treadmills in like aisles of their own. I'm just thinking like, you know, is there anything I actually need to go out for? And the answer to that is a resounding no. Everything I need is here. Apart from the new IMAX, lesser spotted, not seen. But we do have an update to iOS to play with, apparently. But most of the tech you can just get. Food's being delivered. There was a story from Ocado. Did you read that?
That they're going to do an online shopping or something.
Online shopping has been now going on for like 16 weeks and people are loving it. And it will change the face of retail, according to Ocado. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? We're discussing a group called the Zimmers. They were brilliant. You've got to watch that video. You've got to watch that video. I can't believe it's 13 years ago. I told you, there's me. Oh, it must be 5 or 6 years ago. No, 13. But it was lovely. I can't remember what the story behind it was, actually. The world's oldest rock band. There you go. A 90-year-old lead singer and a combined age of more than 3,000. And it was a cover of the Who's My Generation filmed at Abbey Road. Oh, brilliant. Oh, I see. There's the story. The story is underneath. Good grief. Mike Hedges, who produced you too. Overnight, Alf and 99-year-old Winnie, 100-year-old Buster. I remember Buster. And they got to fly over to LA and appear on the biggest chat show alongside Hollywood's biggest star, George Clooney. Absolute genius. I do remember it now. Loved it. Tell me that you remember it now, Mike.
No, not at all.
What were we doing in 2007 that confused you so much? Maya would have been 6. No. I don't know. I
can't remember what I was doing yesterday, never mind 2007.
Oh, is it like that?
Yeah.
Poor Mike. I know what you were doing yesterday. Shall I remind you? You were accepting the award for the most innovative thing in the Gardenians.
Yeah.
Oh, still on a high from that. Still on a high. I did see one thing that might have been interesting. Ooh, ran into a COVIDiot. Oh no, he just had to share the lift. Even after I asked to be down by myself. Oh, for crying out loud. Why can't people just respect other people? Does my head in. Ooh! Oh. She talked, didn't you? You talk a bit louder so they can hear you. You're just grumbly.
Do you want to go in the garden?
I want to play with my football, Father.
Want to play football? Come on then. Come on then.
She's dragged him downstairs.
Come on, then, let's go.
Shows aren't convenient. At 7, it's my time, Daddy. What was I saying? Oh, yes, Bridge. Bridge with a Y. They've announced a new toy. Who's had a look at it? Must admit, I have never, ever had any luck with this when I've tried to do similar. But basically, Bridge have announced a new vertical dock for the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air. Might be in the market for that for a MacBook Air for when I do the show. But I've never actually managed to keep a laptop turned on when the lid's shut. Could just be me. Anybody else had any joy with that? People are being fairly nice over here. I mean, obviously, there's the odd one or two. Yesterday, Mike was out and there was a little girl out with her mum. Now, Mike's not good on ages, but she was walking, but not quite at school. So probably about 3.5, 4. And she was across the road, I think, but they were crossing over to the same side as Mike. And this little girl was going, doggy, 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 doggy. And she obviously wanted to stroke the dog. Mike was like, I'll speed up a bit. And then he felt awful. You feel so mean. But, you know, he didn't know how the mum felt. So eventually they were reasonably close and he said, I'd let her stroke her, but, you know, social distancing. And the mum went, that's okay, thank you. So, you know, people are being really understanding. And then there's the odd one, isn't there? Something's actually been going on not far from here today. I have no idea what. I have no desire to find out. But it started about 1 o'clock. Police car careered past, Blues and Twos screaming away. To be followed about 2 minutes later, I thought, here comes another one. And I glanced out and it wasn't. It was a fire engine that careered off after the first police car. About 5 minutes after that, another one. And that was a police van. And they were heading towards the M60. So heading your way, Jonathan, via me. What they do is, I think it's quieter down here, but the fire station is on the main road. And the road, we're on a tiny side road, but this is difficult. The main road is about 0.5 mile from us. But the main road that we live next to runs absolutely parallel with the main road. So what the ambulance and fire service do is instead of staying on the main road where there's more traffic and more traffic lights, they come down a road called Woodhouse Lane and they get onto the main road next to us. And that way they've got a mile with no traffic lights. So that's what they were doing. So then when they get to the end, I presume they're either heading back east where they came from or getting on the motorway, one or the other. Unless, of course, where they're heading is before they get to the motorway. But that I didn't know. But in all, we had about six screen pass, basically one of each. And I have no idea why. Mike and I are now like immune to it. Originally, when they first started doing that, it was like, oh, what's going on? And now it's like, yeah, whatever. In fact, last night I said to Mike, do you know, why have they got that out? And Mike said, got what out? And I said, can't you hear it? And he said, I thought it was your iMac. I said, thank you for that. I know I stress my iMac. But no, that droning noise you can hear, that's the Force's helicopter, Mike. And he went, oh, so it is. And again, I've got no idea why that was out. Deb likes the keyboard. Ooh, might get one after new kit purchase. Is it for all the sizes? I know it says both. Mine, it's only one, isn't there? MacBook Air. So basically it's sideways. Even that's interesting to me because I have a rack next to me, but instead of having the computers like balanced on their side, I put mine in so they're balanced on their back.
I thought you might want to see the state of the football.
Oh, Lola. What? She's not eaten all that, has she?
No, she's picked it off.
Bomb pot.
They're all over the garden. Not just tonight.
Shall I take a photo?
Take a photo.
We'll take a photo for the sharing of. Lola, honestly, that was brand new, wasn't it? I'll put it on portrait. Got a great one of your hair. You don't want one of your hair, no. Then? Hold it still. There you go. We have football for later in the week. Lola, you destructive woman. Oh, never mind. We'll just have to buy another one. Hope we can get those mail order. should have started fake coughing. Oh, absolutely, Deb. That would have worked. Tripped him up on the way out with the cane, I think. Yeah, that bridge thing looks very nice. How much is it? I'm going to surprise myself now. Actually, that's not bad. $170, probably around £165, £170. Launch in October. Typical. Be in the UK, probably 2023. That's not actually bad when you compare it to the smart keyboardy thing, the floaty affair that Apple have released, which I think was more than double. And it does look neat and tidy. I'm not sure. Might be a nice toy. Thing is, I very, very seldom plug a laptop into a monitor. If I did, then I would probably go for that because it does look very nice and they're a good brand. I'll have to think about it. Somebody makes a good point in the comments. They've put, feels less like a premium product with bridge tattooed on the side. The front logo's subtle. They should have stuck with just that. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Anker do that, but they're reasonably subtle with it. Oh, somebody else is complaining about the vertical position. Are they going for a vertical position so they can actually hook into the ports directly and not have anything hanging off it, though? That's probably why. 15 inches out now. What's mine? 15-inch MacBook Pro, 13-inch MacBook Pro. Vertical... no, mine's a MacBook Air. A 2018 MacBook Air. So, no, mine would be October. I guess they've got to fit bang on. What does it give you in the way of ports? Because if that's the back, I would say not much. Is that the back? It gives you two at the back. Problem is, how's that attaching to the monitor? Is there an integrated cable? I'm trying to read this as we go. Doesn't actually say. I'm thinking, you know, what if you wanted to plug in a card reader? You'd probably have to attach the dongle to the bridge. Why is everything so inelegant these days? I was watching a YouTube video, can't remember why. And this person had a laptop and it was on a stand, and it had a dock of some description, either a dock or a dongle. And they said that's how they used it when they were at home, so that's absolutely fine. But then they came to go out with it, and I wondered what this black patch was on, I think it was the front, but don't quote me, it could have been the back, of the MacBook Pro. And it did look just like a black patch. It didn't look like a sticker. You know, it wasn't decorative. It was just a black patch. When they left, we discovered what this black patch was for. You know those drives that I've got? The Samsung Extreme. The ones that are to go, where you can put a carabiner on them. It was for one of those. They'd put some Velcro on the back of it and then put the other half of the Velcro, I know, don't cry, on the MacBook Pro. And I'm like, no, never, ever, ever, ever on the planet do you do that. But they did. I mean, stickers, I would cry, but at least they would come off. But Velcro? Ooh. Thunderbolt ports will carry video as well. I guess it could look neater than you would imagine. That's going to depend on the monitors that you're plugging it into, though. I can't actually remember how I attached mine. They came with all sorts. Ah, no, I do remember. There was a calamity. The cables that I had for the two monitors that I had, I was expecting to just use the same ones. When the monitors came and I plugged them in, one wasn't too bad at all. The other one... No, hang on. The first one I plugged in, the colour was absolutely appalling. Now, this could have been that it got damaged on arrival. Who remembers when my two new monitors arrived and were unceremoniously thrown over the fence with a 6-foot drop on the other side? So I thought, oh dear. Then I plugged in the other one. That was the same. At which point I thought, maybe it's the cable. But I'd never... had an issue like that before. So I got a different cable. I went HDMI, not that I needed the audio. Everything was way better. And I mean, it made like £150 difference with the monitor. It looked that much better. So then I had to replace all of the cables throughout the entire office. So it used HDMI. So... you probably need a USB hub to make it work with everything else. That's the trouble, isn't it? Mind you, I guess I've seen a lot of people that have put... I can't remember the name of it. It's an IKEA thing. It's basically a cable tray. Let's see if I can find it. Now, would you put cables? Cable organiser. Might find it with that. Then we don't know how to spell organiser. It could be an S or it could be... come on, yeah, I'm going to the right one. Get that one there. We can't find ikea.co.uk. Fabulous. What's the matter with it now? Yep, there we go. Oh, there's a sale on. Is that going to tempt me to go to IKEA? Answer us on a postcard. No, it's not. Right, let's try... cable management. That way we don't have to argue with the S or the Z, do we? Was it a Signum? A Signum is what it was called. This has got a GB thing in it, so it might scream about it. But I've seen many, many people put those underneath their desks. Has anybody done that? I've thought about it for years and I've never actually gone for it. There is a good reason. My desk is quite old. I've had it since I was 17, I think. And I absolutely love it. It is like a wooden affair, but it's got a special acoustic top on it. And it's got two pedestal drawers on each side. So that thing, although I could technically put that at the back, because of these two drawers on either side of it, you could only get to the bit in the middle. And I thought it might give me more grief than I actually need. So I've never actually gone for it. Ah, Mummy Isaacs has those. And the cables hang nicely onto the floor. There was one that I saw, and it wasn't from IKEA. It was very similar to that. But instead of it being open where the brackets are that attach, it was open at either side like that one, but solid along there. And I thought that might be a good idea. On the other hand, it might need to breathe in case it gets too hot. I'm tempted. I'll be honest, I'm tempted. Under my desk, not good. Seriously, not good. I can't tell you how many plugs are under my desk. I don't bother with four ways anymore. I have to have at least 12 ways. And to get more room under the desk, if you get a vertical 12-way, the only problem with any 12-way, 4-way or anything like that, it's so annoying when you get kit and the plug is a huge brick and it covers up two of the slots. But I must have... How many must be under there? 8? 10? Something like that. Criminal. Hanging them back on. One of those things you must do.
We've been working on our possession skills.
Do you mean she wouldn't give it you back?
And our chasing back skills.
She absolutely adores that. We're going to have to get another one, you know, because she actually rips it and it's dead. There's going to be big trouble.
Yeah. And next we'll be working on our barking skills.
We could hear her barking. She doesn't need to work on that.
Now it's drinks break.
Oh, she's just too cute. That wouldn't work on your desk, would it, Mike? Mike's desk's got a drawer that slides out where the keyboard sits. Only actually it doesn't, does it? It's the kind of dumping ground, that bit.
It's not. Everything, I can account for everything on there. There's an iPad, there's a Surface, there's an iPhone, there's one of those things that you got me.
That holds two toys.
An iPad stand.
I'm kind like that.
And there's an Anchor 10 thingy and a switch. So it's all organised.
You've lost me now, I'm looking at hard drives. Right. Debbie sent me a link. They're the ones, black with orange trim. I think they were on offer in the UK the other day. The price used to be, well, it was horrific. I think it was £200. SanDisk Extreme. Let's have a look. That's the one. I think the price has gone up on that one. Here we go. A 1 terabyte is $129.99, which has £30 off it at the moment. So if you were in the market, Jonathan, now was a good time. How much did I pay the last time I bought one? £1 less than that. So it's only £1 dearer than I paid. So that's the 1 terabyte one. The 2 terabyte one isn't actually on offer. And the 500 gig one is £72.99. So it looks like it could be a SanDisk thing, doesn't it? That's actually quite unusual. When I look at the price in America, and there is a deal off on that, it's actually, the exchange rate's actually about right. That never happens. But now would be a good day. Such a shame Graham's not here and I could get about getting into Graham's wallet. If you don't know about me getting into Graham's wallet, basically every time I demonstrate something, Graham's tempted to buy it. So it's so funny. Sometimes it's expensive and sometimes it's less so. The red box sale. Oh, no, we haven't got one of those on. We did have something. I don't know if you have that. Basically, like a truck comes round to locally and they kind of tweet out where they are and you can turn up and whatever they've got is like grossly reduced. But you actually have to be there to be in it. I don't think they've done that for a while. That kind of sprung out of nowhere. I have no idea where that came from. But there were some good deals to be had if you did want to wander around. So, Costco. No, we haven't been to Costco, and I don't think our Costco sell those. They do have some computer equipment. They have mainly laptops. You don't see much in the way of desktops. They do have iMacs, and they do have, like, the full Apple brand. But not greatly reduced. And in terms of peripherals like that, not much. Maybe your Costcos are bigger than our Costcos. Costcos are relatively new. I think they've been here probably about, what, 12 years, 15 years?
Yeah.
It wasn't there when the Trafford Centre opened, and that was 20. It feels new, because there aren't that many of them. I'm in Paul's wallet as well. I do try to be good, Paul. We did actually freeze a credit card once.
It's still frozen.
Stop me using it. It was an Apple event. So we for years, we joked about putting the credit card in the freezer. Only this particular year, we did it.
It's still there.
It's still in the freezer. That well, I can use it without actually touching it. You notice that?
It's probably past its expiry date.
And sell-by date.
I was going to say sell-by date.
Oh, don't let Lola loose with it. She might find things to buy, like footballs. They are very, very good drives, by the way, while we're talking about these drives. They've got an adapter with them, so they actually hook up with USB-C. There is a cable with it. It's very short, probably about 7 to 8 inches, if that. But there is an adapter for the computer end of it. So if you don't have USB-C on the computer, this adapter will turn it into a standard USB, which means it's self-contained. One of the things I did get was a case for it, and it was a dedicated case for it. Let's go back to the orders and have a look. I think it was around £8, something like that. And I've got a couple of those. Oh, they're all now available in lots of different colours, like grey and red. Well, actually, they're all slightly different. The one I went for came with this tab thing in it. It was like a piece of fabric with a stronger end on it, like an extra bit stitched on. And I thought, I've no idea what that's for. Then I realised, once I got the drive in it, there's a piece of elastic that holds the drive in place. And if you put this piece of fabric underneath the drive, then you don't have to use the hole in the drive to pull it out. You can just flick this piece of fabric and the drive will flick out. But it takes, can we see from these pictures? Yeah, I think we can. It comes with a strap and it takes the cable as well. Now, many of the cases I looked at took the cable, but they didn't have anything to separate the drive from the area that held the cable. And the problem with that was I thought it's going to get scratched badly because the cable is quite rough. But this one that I got had something to separate it. So I'll put the link in. Hopefully there'll be something like that. But just give you an idea of what to think about. The other ones were huge. They had, instead of this little piece of fabric to flick them out, they actually had like a whole half inch extra, 3/4 of an inch extra, to give you like room to put your finger underneath to flick it out. And they were exactly the same price. So when I got my second one, I actually bought another one of those. So they live happily in their little SanDisk case. So totally made for it. You can get ones that they would fit in, but that is absolutely perfect fit. In fact, isn't it unusual when you look at tech? It's had 593 ratings. It's actually got a 5-star rating. Usually you find people moaning. But that one is very, very good. So if you're going to get the drive, get the case to go with it as well. Would be a shame not to. Ooh, what's Paul got here? Something for me to look at. I do like toys. Are you going to get into my wallet? Let's have a look. Oh, I did see one of those. When I looked up SanDisk, that came up as an option. I've never had one of those. Two cables. I must have seen the black one, I think. They don't look very big, do they? There we go. 74 millimetres. What's that in English money? If you give it 15, about 3 inches. Why don't you put both on there? Crying out loud. They do look rather nice. They're a little bit smaller, aren't they? But then the extremes are very thin. They don't tend to get that hot either. And obviously you don't need to plug it into power either. Where did I see one of those? I definitely remember them. I could have been comparing and looking for one at the time, I guess. That seems heckishly expensive, though, by comparison to the other one. What on earth? Underneath that, you know where it says you're looking at this, you might quite like this. There is a mounting bracket. So they've got it on a video. That's a good idea, isn't it? Hmm. Oh, you're very bad, Paul. That is a good transfer, isn't it? Very, very good. Might have to have a look at that, though. Kim's got all three. Well, this is it. Yeah. Do you know why I actually bought them? I thought it'd be handy to have access to data when I go out without using the cloud. That's worked really well. Not gone anywhere. But I did use it. I used it in October, which was when we went to York. That was when I had that upload speed of like, forget it. When I was trying to upload the YouTube Premiere. And I used it again when we went to Alverston. So I actually, any data that I created while I was there that was too big to upload to the cloud, automatically went on those. And when I got back, I was looking for them. I shoved them in a drawer. I was looking for them and I took them out and that was actually what was on them. So they did get some use. I guess I could, you know, venture downstairs and pretend I'm out. Never mind. They're still the same price, so it's not as though I bought them and they're getting no use at all, is it? They're still the same price. I must have got a very good deal at the time. That price hasn't gone down now. $500 for $90. That's a good price. That is a good price. Which one? The blue one. So that's $500, isn't it? They do have deals on these things quite a bit, though. That one, I think, would be great if you're using it for video. Because, you know, with the mounting bracket and stuff, it's absolutely perfect. The SanDisk is kind of made for more rugged use, shall we say, hanging off something. And it's actually light enough to use it hanging off something. I don't think the cable would come out. It's very light. And as I say, it doesn't get overly warm. I mean, it's warm, but it's not as hot as I've felt some things. When I'm using my phone to record something, you know, video or something, I've got like a hand grip for it. And when I've done like a long recording, like an hour, like the Munich thing, it is red hot. It really is red hot. I mean, it's great quality and it's 4K and all the rest of it. But you just think to yourself, nothing should run that hot. Nothing that's running that hot, it can't be good for it. Cannot be good for it. My iCloud woes continue, by the way. Would you say it's synchronising? Not really, no. It's the weirdest thing. I don't understand it. Because Ulysses works absolutely perfectly. Drafts works absolutely perfectly. And nothing else works at all. It would drive a saint to drink iCloud. Having said that, I did make a full backup of my Keynote stuff. I was going to try it, if you remember, on Google Drive. Haven't got round to that yet. But I did make a full backup, just in case. I don't trust iCloud. There's just something about it. Isn't it amazing that... Do you remember Steve Jobs when he went off on one? It was the Mobile Me thing. He had a meeting, apparently, and he said to the Mobile Me team, tell me what Mobile Me is supposed to do. And they did. After much umming and ahhing, they kind of cobbled together the elevator pitch. And they told him, and he said, and why the hell doesn't it do it then? I thought, yeah, that's pretty much how the rest of us feel. And, you know, they moved from .Mac to Mobile Me, and then from Mobile Me to iCloud. It's no better. And I can understand them because they're Apple, and they work like that, wanting the kind of control on it. But, you know, some of the things that I've experienced with iCloud are just horrific. Horrific. And it's based on the structure of it. It's based on what they have decided this is the way it should work. it's not an error. So if you remember when I was beta testing Affinity Publisher, I had an Affinity Publisher folder that I was putting my data in. And then when I'd finished using the beta and I bought it direct from them because I got a huge beta discount, sorry about that, Simon, this folder vanished and took with it all its data. And the only way I could get it back, I was also intending to buy it from the App Store. Once I'd bought it from the App Store and installed it on another machine, then I could see the folder, but not on my main Mac. So I determined at that point I wasn't ever intending to use these folders again, because they're not just folders that happen to be named the same as the app. They're actually wired to an application deep within the plumbing of it, and you can't particularly change that. Now, having said that, one of the issues I had, I did get deep and dirty in the terminal, and I did do exactly what you were supposed to do to remap these things, and it worked perfectly until I rebooted, and then it remapped itself the other way. Nothing that's got that degree of control that deep within it that you as a user have no access to be able to change it is good. It's just not good. But I can't see Apple changing their mind anytime soon. It's probably just me. No, Kim doesn't like it either. So Kim's got one for genealogy, one for Common Copy Cloner, one for Dev and Think, good plan for when that gets up and running. When you say you don't trust the cloud, do you mean any cloud service or just iCloud? Because some of them, you know, I kind of rely on where I've deleted a file and then 3 weeks later I decide I need it back, for whatever the reason. And I know where I had it, but I can't find it now, or I'm out and I've got no access to it here. You can actually restore it from Dropbox.
I did that yesterday.
What had you deleted?
I deleted all my exercise files for Power Query, thinking that I was in the Power Pivot folder because I'd had both folders open in two different browser tabs. Luckily, they were in OneDrive, so I just went to the bin and restored them.
Yeah, and Dropbox can do that. I don't know about Box. You know Box better than me.
Yeah, Box can do that. They can all do it.
But iCloud, you know, I wouldn't trust it in its normal folder, much less with deleting it. Just not good. The thing I have the biggest beef with iCloud, I mean, it forces you for a start. You couldn't put all of your materials for one particular project together. Well, you could, but you'd have to make a custom folder. You can only go so many levels deep. And by definition, when you went into an app, so say you've got a MindNode file and you've got some stuff in DevonThink and you've got some stuff elsewhere, you know, say Keynote and Pages and Numbers. If you want all of those files together so you can archive a project off, you can work with the data, but Apple make it actually more difficult because you've got to navigate out of the default folder and navigate to the folder you want to work in constantly. If you work the way they want you to work, then backing up a project becomes a major ordeal because all your data is in so many different places. So they're actually making file management more difficult, not less, in my opinion. And I can't really, I mean, I've gone along with it purely through apathy, I suppose. That's terrible, isn't it? I have one folder that has everything in it for every After Hours. So there's an After Hours data folder, and underneath that, there is now 85 folders, one for each show. The one thing that isn't in each of those 85 folders is the Keynote file. The Keynote file is on iCloud, and it was purely so I can have them all in one place, open up Keynote, and point it to that folder. Now, you might think that sounds ludicrous, but one of the benefits is, if I've done... A while ago, I covered the new features of DevonThink. It was a long while ago, probably about show 50 to 55, something like that. If that file lived with its project, it would live in the after hours data slash whichever show folder. But because it lives in the iCloud folder, I am actually able to go file open in Keynote when I'm working in 85. And in the search field within the open dialog box, I can actually put in Devon Think 3. And it will search through. I mean, obviously, there's no point searching through the names because all the names are after hours and a number. But it will actually search through the contents of the file, which is a huge time saver as far as I'm concerned. But I'm very, very nervous about iCloud. And my experience this week has been nothing short of horrific. I really feel for Alistair, who has had it not working, I think, for about 9 months now. It's escalated as high as it can go. You know, the next level Steve Jobs, they have to dig him up. It's that bad. And they're getting nowhere. So if something's that bad, it's not built right. That's my opinion anyway. You have trust issues.
You know when you said, Apple want you to work their way. Let's put all the Keynote files in the Keynote folder, etc.
Yeah.
Remember when we first got the Mac and we went to the Apple store?
Yeah.
And that lad, I think it was Dan.
Yeah.
And he said, this was pre-cloud. And he said, just stick everything in the Documents folder.
Yeah, right. And then use Spotlight to search for it. I can't do that. Honestly, one of the things I've been thinking about, you know, productivity-wise, you set stuff up. And when you set it up, and it could be anything, it could be a default folder, it could be DevonThink, it could be Notion, it could be anything. But you set it up, and obviously you've got to set it up somehow. So you set it up in the way that you think is optimal. And then you start using it. And you might tweak a few things. But over time, maybe folders you were frequently accessing, you're not accessing anymore. And there are now folders that you are accessing more. You know, things change. How often do you actually go back and deliberately, proactively reconfigure all of those apps? So case in point, I use Drop Zone all the time. And I'd put things up there that made logical sense, as far as I was concerned. And I looked at it the other day and I thought, when was the last time you used that folder? And the answer to that was, you know, never. It seemed like a good idea at the time. And I thought, where actually does that folder live, woman? And I went and I had a look and I thought, not used it for like 3 years. And yet it was one of, I've got 15 links. So it was one of 15, just 15 links that I considered to be the most important, most frequently used links. Looking at them, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 get used regularly out of those. Same with default folder. I literally could not find this folder that I was looking for. And I thought, why isn't it set up as a favourite? Because you use it every week. The thing was, I use it every week now, but I didn't use it every week when I set it up. You know, I've been processing the mass files every week. And therein, there is a root folder that contains all of them. And obviously, I'm using it every week. Where is it? Why is it not in the system of what you're frequently using now? Because you're using it every week. Because you don't go back and reconfigure it. And when I went back to reconfigure it, I found that Drop Zone and Default Folder both had links to folders that had actually been deleted. That's how important they were. You know, I'd consolidated the system and changed the system, but not actually updated the systems that access the systems, if you're with me. All of the tools that help you get the job done. Right, what's going on in here? You have trust issues with the cloud services. I can understand that. I mean, it would be bad enough. I remember a while back, I think it was probably about 2 years ago, Mike and I had been in the process of moving everything to Google Drive. And there was a Google Drive outage or a Google outage, and it took down Calendar. And this was in the middle of the working day. And Twitter and Facebook were just alive with it. Can't work. can't work, I can't get to my calendar. And I thought, you know, is it really that bad? But yeah, if you lost access to all of your files and all of your calendar, your mail, your contacts, that is not good. When I set it up so that I'd have a backup. So I had a secondary Google account and I have a rule set up at, mind you, that won't work, will it, if there's a crisis? But I have a secondary, basically if you lose access to your account, I had a secondary Gmail account set up and there's the rule, the first rule sends everything onto this secondary account, just in case. That was one thing that I did. Data-wise, trying to keep that amount of data synchronised with a local drive would probably be best done on a secondary machine, I would say. I did have a Mac server set up to do that, but I haven't had that set up for a while. There was an app, and this app hooked into all your cloud services and let you back them all up. And then the app died, which was a bit of a calamity, to be honest with you. Let's have a look. You would love to have NAS. They're not actually these days that complicated to set up, to be honest. As Paul says, the best place by far, if you're researching which one to buy, would be to go to YouTube, because although you can read all the blurb from the manufacturers and professional reviews, she said, massive air quotes, professional reviews are basically the press release, topped and tailed. But the ones on YouTube will actually show you the stuff. So definitely worth looking at. What I would say is, with a NAS, it's great and it's convenient, but the single point of failure is the NAS. The single point of failure is not the drive anymore. If you've configured it correctly, so there's mirrored and there's partitioned, all kinds of stuff. There are about 7 levels of different, slightly different configurations. Sometimes you've got more redundancy with a configuration. Sometimes you've got more storage with a configuration. And it really depends on the circumstances. If you've got the ability to just pull a drive out and put a new one in and have it regenerate itself from it, you know, then go that route. But if you've got other issues with it, then you may choose to go a different route with how you actually configure it. But ultimately, the main problem is the fact that if you only have one version, one instance of the NAS, and it's that that breaks, the fact that you've got these drives and there's nothing wrong with them, to access the data, you would have to have another piece of hardware identical to the first piece of hardware you have. How Jonathan got round that, if you remember, was that he had his NAS in his flat and he had a duplicate at his parents' house, and his mum had the same setup. She had one in her own house and one at Jonathan's, and that is perfect because you've then got 4 pieces of hardware to go at. So Paul saying there is software to back up to Amazon S2. It could mean, what was that one called that's offline? Semi-cold storage, basically. There's Glacier storage, where you need to give them, basically, you have to let them know you want it, and 7 hours later they'll let you have it. That stuff. Yeah, I just feel with that, Paul, you're adding a lot of complexity to it. A lot of management. As somebody who's done that job, there's a lot of management involved in that. And as I've said to Mike now, I'm desperately trying to simplify everything now. And I said, like, the other day, yes, I know I could do that. I'm a systems engineer. Of course I could do that. I can't be bothered. I need to concentrate on creating stuff rather than concentrate on managing the hardware and software and anything else I need to create stuff, because it's too much. Not interested. Done it all once. It's a full-time job. System administration is a full-time job. Loving that, Debbie. a non-techie would look at Raid response and ask for, is it a roach spray? There are different levels of Raid, basically. So if you wanted to go and research that, there are different levels. And as I said, depending on what you want from the system. I mean, on a basic level, many years ago, it was software Raid. So you didn't need the hardware. It just came from Windows NT 4. And you configured it that way. And you could literally, if you mirrored two drives and one broke, you just pull it out, put a new one in and tell it to regenerate. So that's actually relatively simple. But it takes two drives. And maybe you would be better served by a three-drive RAID array. And then it gets complicated. Is this bringing back all your network nightmare, Mike?
No, I'm trying to forget it.
I just want to know too much. So Paul says, yes, would agree. For me, I'd be backing up and at least I could get it back while I was waiting for the hardware. True. It came... That whole thing came to the fore, shall we say, with Drobo. Drobo managed somehow to sell the concept of NAS and make it sexy. You know, it had a cool name, Drobo. And it was fairly inexpensive. And people went for it big style. Big style. And then down the line, and it was a good 2 years later, you know, and they're still selling these things, they started failing spectacularly altogether. You know, YouTube was full of videos of this thing failing. You could send it back for repair, but that didn't do you much good accessing your data, did it? And I think for a lot of people, that was the first time they realised that there was still a single point of failure. Until then, they felt they did trust the system and that they were covered, belt and braces, belt and suspenders. And you're not. You need an extra something if you're going to do that. So like Simon says, he's got a RAID 6 with two drive redundancy and two hot spares. And this is the kind of thing you have to think about. And to me, like I'm saying, that's like lots of management. And if that's what you're doing, great. But I need time to create stuff. I can't do, you know, 4 hours of content on a Friday night in after hours if I'm spending 3 days nursing the drives. So I wanted to try and offload that side of it. Simplify it, basically. Let's have a look what's going on here. Hybrid RAID is a great idea. You don't need all the drives to be the same size. Yep. Back then, I mean, we were talking about RAIDs. You're going back to like 2010. You know, the drives were maybe like 250 gig, 500 gig. They weren't actually huge, not like the ones you see now. I mean, you could go on Amazon and find a 16 terabyte drive, just one in a box. I've got photos of a setup from about 2009, 10, something like that. And I've got six Seagate drives hanging off this machine. Each one was 500 gig. So you're looking at 3 terabytes of storage. You know, I've got one sat in a drawer next to me that's got 8 terabytes now. And it is literally sat in a drawer. It's the backup drive, what can I say? You thought the robotic Drobo was a vacuum cleaner? No, I can honestly say it's not. But for some people, it might as well have been when it went belly up, unfortunately. I don't know with drives. Maybe some people don't have that much data anymore. There's a thought. I mean, a lot of people, like students, everything seems to be in the cloud. And they just kind of work in the cloud. And they do seem to trust it in the cloud. I think your biggest problem with Google is if you lose access to your account, getting back in is a living nightmare. As I've told you before, we had a free account and we had all of the screenshots from when we set it up and all of the passwords and all of the answers to the special questions and stuff did us no good whatsoever.
They didn't care, did they?
Nope, they did not care. That's why I spent about a year saying to Mike, I want to give Google money. And he's like, yeah, I'll get you an appointment at the doctor's. And I said, no, if they've got my credit card, you know, they're going to let me in. because it must be me, and plus the fact I'll stop paying the bill. As it actually happened, it got to a point where I did need more storage, and that is actually what I pay them for, rather than having a professional level enterprise account. I am grandfathered onto a completely free account, but I pay for storage. And that works best for both of us, I feel. Plus the fact I've got a password that's that long, even I just can't remember it. that's not even a joke. As long as I can get into one password, I'm all right. But it is hugely long. It's like 80 characters, something like that. If somebody wanted to hack it, they could be a while. Let's just say that could be a while. Mind you, that is not how most hackers work. They do a kind of lifestyle hack, don't they? They get into one account and from there get into another and then another and another. It's not actually that they're sat there with a brute force attack on your Google account. But I feel happier it's got a longer password. I do not feel happier it has a longer password when I need to enter said password by hand into an Android device. There is one password now for Android, but at the time you had to get it up on the screen and type it in. You know, and you'd be like, character 78, 70, oh no, and then you've got to start again. It's hideous. It was hideous. Ah, those were the days, weren't they? That's why we don't have Android tablets. Ah, drives. How much storage has everybody got? Let me know that.
More than amusing.
I'm looking at the cupboard, Mike, and thinking, don't go there. The magic MacBite storage cupboard, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I can see 18 8-terabyte drives. How much is that? But you have to halve that. 18 times 8. 144 terabytes. Divided by 2, so 72, because everything's got another drive as a redundant backup. So 72 terabytes of storage, at least. That's only the shelves I can see. There are shelves lower down that I can't see. So let me know, what kind of storage have you got? Oh, and that doesn't include things like the SanDisks. About 12 terabytes. But you know, 12 terabytes, can you imagine that a few years ago? I had a documents drive. It was totally external to my machine. And it started off life and it was something like 5 gig. And I remember thinking, you're never going to fill that. Obviously, I then ended up with a 10 gig drive that morphed into a 20 gig drive that morphed into a 40 gig drive. And that would have been between 94 and 2006. And in 2006, I moved over to a Mac, and I remember thinking, I'm going to have to somehow get this 40 gig of data to the Mac. I think the Mac's hard drive was about 256, so I could probably put all of this data on there. But I ended up getting a 250 gig hard drive, and my 40 gig of data was just rattling around on it. But since then, you know, the Mac enables you to make so much in terms of, you know, like creativity and images, videos, you name it, hence needing all of the storage. The iMac's got a 2 terabyte disk. I presume that's internal, and an 8 terabyte not plugged into anything at the moment. It's actually better, isn't it, not to have it plugged in. You plug external drives in and everything slows down. I, on my first iMac, had 22 external drives, and it was fine. If I plug one external drive into this one, it slows down. This is why I say, you know, the Mac isn't what it was. That 22 drives, it was absolutely fine. It didn't slow it down. Not even on the boot up did it cause problems. There were just 22 drives on it. They were 500 gig drives, but even so. So if you could actually work in just the cloud and, you know, eject all your external hard drives, you'd probably be working much faster. How many drives have I actually got installed at the moment? Let's have a look. Actually plugged in to the machine at the moment. This is the minimum that I have. I have a scratch drive, which is an SSD. It's 1 terabyte and it is literally nothing. It's the processing drive. So if I'm crunching a video, I will send it to this SSD. But this SSD isn't even backed up. It's very much a processing drive. So there's that one on it. I've then got a... Now, is that 5 or 8? What size are you? A 5 terabyte documents drive that is bursting at the seams and needs to be bigger. I've got 4 8 terabyte drives and the MacBytes drive, which is also 8 terabytes. And that MacBytes drive was only installed because the MacBytes content was on the documents drive. I moved it off there when the documents drive got full. So the only thing that is on the MacBytes drive is all of the after hours, all of the podcasts, all of the marooned episodes. That is about it. And this 8 terabyte drive has only got 1.7 terabytes free. There's that many source files on it. So at the moment, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drives that I actually work with, and one backup drive is plugged in that it's backing up to constantly. Ooh, let's have a look. 22 drives, madness. Hey, it all worked. Each drive. So I had one drive for like audio work and one drive for document work. It all made sense at the time, Simon, honestly. Oh no, the iMac's a 1 terabyte SSD. Yep, that's exactly what I've got. You have one that just holds movies. I've got that one. I've actually got two of those. I have one called iTunes, which is my old iTunes library. Now I've got Spotify. I very seldom access it. But I also have another one, and the drive itself is called Apple TV. That actually wasn't mine. It was my mother's. I think it's 2 terabytes, and it's full. It had all of her NCIS on it. She adored that. I think that was her favourite programme. She liked other stuff, but that was her one of her favourites. She also liked NCIS LA. She loved that guy. Oh, yes. She said, I'm not going to enjoy this one as much as the other one. She watched 2 episodes and that was it. She was gone. He's rather nice, she said. Chris something, I think. Chris. It wasn't he in Batman? Wasn't he Robin to George Clooney's Batman? Chris something, anyway. She liked him. So this has all the TV that she would want to watch on it. There is some stuff of mine on there. There's films on there, and I think all the Harry Potters are on there. She watched all of those. But I very seldom actually have that mounted or accessed because there's so much that I could watch online. Right, let's have a look. 5 terabytes on the NAS and 1.5 on the Mac. We've all got a lot of data, haven't we? Wow. And you have one for the TV, plugs into the tuner. I did get my mum something that was like a card reader thing. Thing was, she was totally anti an Apple TV, wasn't she?
She
basically.
Was.
It was, I want it on a disc. Put it on a DVD. I was juggling DVDs like they had gone out of fashion. So I thought, I don't just put an Apple TV in. She'll go off on one. I thought, it's got to be her idea. So I thought, I know what I'll do. So I got one of these boxes. It was about the size of an Apple TV, but much thinner. Because all it actually did, it had some kind of operating system on it that gave you a visualization. A dashboard, basically, when you plugged it into the TV, but it had no storage. You plugged cards in. So instead of me burning DVDs like an idiot, I would put what she wanted to watch on a card. So either an SD card, I think it took the bigger ones. What were they called? Do you remember the ones we had a 1 gig flash drive thing? It went in the Fuji camera. It was a camera card thing, but it was just a bit bigger. But this thing took anything, including USB. So you could actually have hung like a 2 terabyte drive off the back of it, and then she would have been none the wiser. There would have just been a lot of TV on it. So I bought this thing. I thought it was really cheap. It was about £15-20, something like that. So I said, I've just got this for you to have a look at. The words Apple TV was not mentioned at all. I said, no, it's just a gizmo. I said, instead of like a disc, it uses a card and you can get more on it. Because she could only ever get 3 to 4 episodes of whatever she wanted to watch on a DVD. And obviously I could get a card that was like 32 gig and put a series on it. So we installed it. The remote had so many buttons, but I said, just press that one, you're way to go. Well, after about 3 days, it was like, I really like this. I said, oh, that's good. I said, Apple TV pretty much works like that. I said, only obviously, you know, it's better and it's bigger and all the rest of it. You could have access to not just one series, as you could have access to anything, and you could watch anything that we've got on the disc. And she went, oh. So I just walked off and thought, I'll let her ruminate on that for a while. The next day she said, you know that Apple TV thing? I said, yeah. She said, I think I'll get one. And what was she like with it? She probably had it for about...
Wouldn't put it down.
About 2 years, two and a half years. I'm thinking she had it when Dad was ill, so probably about 2.5 years. And the remote being so simple, she absolutely loved that. It wasn't a case of, yes, Mother, I know, there's 97 buttons on it, but you only need to press 2. Ignore the others. You know, she loved it. Absolutely loved it. And that drive still sat here now with all her stuff on it. But again, I very seldom get to it. I've heard good things about Plex, Anthony. I think Jonathan mentioned Plex, and didn't somebody recently sign up for it too? I haven't, to be honest. I've got music, but like I say, it's all on Spotify. And I've heard good things about Roku as well. Is it Roku? Roku? Kevin's got one of those. Absolutely swears by it. But again, See, Anthony's doing the same there, old TV and my parents. Yep, that's exactly where I put it. But you see, with it being an Apple TV as well, there was one we put downstairs, and then I took mine and I put it upstairs for her so she could watch it either downstairs or upstairs. I don't ever use my Apple TV. I buy them, but I don't use them. What I do with them, I need to know how you would present with them. So I basically, you know, when I have the need, I get it out, update it, set it up, and then go through the how it does it work with Keynote and how do we get this over there and AirPlay X to Y and all of that. I do that with it, but I would not sit down and watch a programme on it. I don't find the audio on any TV great, do you?
No.
We've said that downstairs. The TV, the sound was really tinny. I didn't like it. So I got a sound bar for Mum. And the sound bar was better. But the BBC, the sound on their channels is just appalling. It's absolutely fine if I watch it through the ITV. But downstairs on the TV, which was my Mum's TV, it was appalling. So the TV sits downstairs and that's it. We never turn it on. But at least we can say we have actually got a TV. But it doesn't count. It's not ours and we don't turn it on. But there you go. Oh, you see, there's all these devices of which I am totally unaware because I don't do like the entertainment-y thing. I'm just obsessed with YouTube. I'm just basically on YouTube 24/7. YouTube's fabulous. I actually, a while back, you know, people were saying about getting the premium version. I think it's premium. Of YouTube. And they were saying for like TV programmes. And I'm thinking of the TV programmes on there. Turns out there are. But I didn't fancy any of them. I'm clearly not the demographic for any of them. Let's put it like that. What I did notice was the other day, I had to log into YouTube with a different account. The church videos get uploaded to the church account, and obviously they do not have a paid-for YouTube account. Aren't the adverts intrusive? Whoa! I hadn't even started watching a video because I had no need to watch a video. I was uploading a video for the church. But I was on the page, the homepage, where you've got all of the thumbnails, and straight away, a thing flashed up in the lower left-hand corner that said, you know, watch ad-free. And I thought, I'm not actually trying to watch anything, so go away. The adverts were just all over the place. And they weren't ads. Ads from companies who are paying for you to see their ads. They were actually YouTube ads, basically. Trying to get you to take a premium account. And I swear when I got my premium account, I don't think I'd seen that much in the way of adverts for it. I actually had to go and look for it. And the reason that I wanted a premium account was mainly for the ads, the pre-roll and post-roll ads on a video. Nothing else. But now, when you've not got a premium account and you log in, whoa, Adverts Central, I'm afraid. You should probably put a cache SSD in there. It works well, Simon. It's a 1 terabyte. They were on offer the other day, and it's a brand I've had before. In fact, it was comical because the price has gone up during lockdown, as per usual. The price of hard drives fluctuates upwards whenever there's a calamity. Do you remember when iPad 2 came out and the Fukushima thing went into meltdown and then there was a tsunami? The price shot up and it stayed shot up for ages. But with this, I think it went up about £15. Let's try that search, see if we can find it. Yeah, it's gone up to £83.99 for a 1 terabyte. But the other day, I think it was cheaper than that. Or is that actually on offer again? Let's have a look. Let's have a look. No, it was £71, which was only like £3 more expensive. But at the moment, it's £83.99. But it just sits there doing its job, doesn't need any power or anything, just hangs off the back. It's on the shelf. I've got a shelf at the back of the iMac, and on the shelf, there is a 10-port USB hub and a couple of drives. And some other stuff, audio things, etc. But it just hangs there and you don't even need to think about it. It's just there to process to. Because if it's chunking away with video, you know, kicking out probably a couple of terabytes of video, it'd be about 8-9 gig that it's trying to compress down to less than one. It does, you can tell it slows the entire system down, but not if it's writing to an external drive. So it's worth doing. Oh, Kim's got a shelf as well. It's so handy. I mean, particularly, it would be a bit awkward if the back of your computer was facing into a room, but mine faces onto a wall. So anything that goes on the shelf, you just don't need to see. And when they made the second version of the shelf, you can actually put up to 3 shelves on that leg, 2 facing backwards, as mine is, but it actually goes wide enough to put a shelf facing forwards underneath at the front, and you could then put your keyboard on it, which isn't something I've done. But you know, if you need, my desk's big enough to lose a keyboard without doing that, but if it wasn't, I probably would do that rather than get something for the iMac to stand on. I would probably, you know, slot the keyboard under that. You like your QNAP. That's the gold one, isn't it? That looked nice. That did look nice. I just think for me, perfect would have looked like everything in the cloud. And although I might want to have backups locally, not stuff that I needed to have mounted and be using, I thought we were heading there with OneDrive when they said you could have unlimited. And then you couldn't. So, which was probably a blessing, because if I'd have done that, I wouldn't have been wanting to use Google Drive. And if I had to choose one right now, it would probably be Google Drive. Having said that, there's Dropbox, isn't there? Because I've got the pro version of Dropbox, not really for the amount of storage, but I am actually using it because I'm using Selective Sync. Or is it Smart Sync? There's two types of sync with Dropbox.
Smart Sync, isn't it?
Is it Smart Sync?
I think so.
Oh, it will. It'll be Smart Sync. Selective Sync means you don't even see the folders locally. And Smart Sync means that you see everything, but it's not stored locally unless you choose to have it stored locally. So I've got 3 terabytes up there, and we're using that a little bit more. Basically because if I wanted to go from 1 terabyte on Google Drive to 2 terabytes, price would double, which while that might make sense, it's annoying. Because if you are on the consumer side of it, 2 terabytes would cost what I pay now. But I only get 1 terabyte for that because it's an enterprise level account. So I'm just having to wait, really, until the price comes down. And I don't think that's going to be for at least the next year. But I've got enough storage at the moment. And if I wanted more active storage to actually use with current files, then I could always take some of the stuff and then put it in Dropbox and have access to it, or OneDrive and have access to it. I probably need to utilise OneDrive more for backup, and I've got pCloud as well, which I could use for backup. I guess it's just getting around and configuring it. Because when you change what you do, you need to change the files and folders that you have available to support that. And that's tricky with me. We take things on like, you know, Mike's presidential year and let's run a radio station. No, I tell you what, let's run two. And then you need different files and stuff like that. But it's all right. It's going all right as it did. Did anyone need to try and back Blaze? I never did do that. I did have something. It wasn't Backblaze. And I checked it out a lot in terms of watching videos and seeing how people were going with it. Seemed to take a long, long, long time to make a backup. So I decided not to bother. Another thing I tried, and I didn't really like the way it did it, was an app called Arc, which is for the Mac. Now is it ARS? Arc. No, it's not coming up there, but is it still going? Surely it's still going. Let's try again. Not actually seeing it. Okay. Is it a C or a K? I have no idea. There we go, cloud backup there. Oh, no, it's neither. It's a Q. That'd be right, wouldn't it? That's the one, Simon. It was a bit quirky, but it did mean that you kept control of your stuff, basically. It's a backup app that backs up your entire system or what you choose to back up. It works on Mac, it works on Windows, and it backs up to cloud storage. As Simon says there, Amazon Web Services, so S3 storage or Glacier storage or something like that. There's two ways you can do this. You either buy it for $49.99, and that enables you to back up one computer to the cloud, but you need to use your own cloud storage to do it. The other way to do it is Arc Premium, which is a subscription thing, $5.99 a month, and everything is included. So you get the storage with it. Now, it says 1 terabyte is included, and extra terabytes are available at 0.0059 cents per gig per month. So that actually might be a better way to go. I think it would depend. What put me off it was, yes, it was great to back up and it's all there, all sorted out. You can do selective backup with it, so you don't have to back up the whole of your computer if you don't want, but it backs up into some proprietary archive kind of thing, which makes getting one file back a bit of a nightmare, and that's why I didn't stick with it. We do have S3 storage, is where we put the shows, but we've not done the kind of system backups to it. We have put things up there. I think we'd have less and less need for it the more cloud storage that you can get directly, like pCloud, where there's 2 terabytes, so put your stuff up there and there's no ongoing cost then. We're going to do a session on backup, aren't we? I think Jonathan suggested it, the basics of backup. So we've gone in at like the deep end, but Jonathan wanted the basics of backup. You were backing up your MacBook Pro, it wasn't connected to internet enough to complete a backup. That's what I saw when I was doing my research. It was a bit like, and this is going to take 3 years to back up. And you're like, does anybody actually ever get this backed up? You might not get your data back. I wanted a more transparent way of it backing up, Simon. I'm a great believer in this drive has all my data on it. And this drive is a clone of the first one. End of. You know, if the first one isn't working, then I plug in the second one and sort that out. I have actually had it where I plugged a drive in and it was dying, and then it died. And I thought, not a problem, I'll get the backup drive out. Got the backup drive out, it died. And I thought, good job, I've got a backup of the backup, isn't it? At which point, before I plugged that in, I needed 2 more drives. This is what I'm saying. It can very, very, very easily become that you spend at least 40% of your week nursing your system. And I really want to get away from that. Simon thinks I am the cloud. I wish I was, because then I wouldn't have the magic map by its cupboard, would I? Which is heaving with drives. I think a couple of them are blank, but I'm down to my last two that are blank. I remember Retrospect, but I never used it. Remember the name? Never used it. Ah, that was a good trip down Drive Lane, wasn't it? And how we all store our data. I'd love it for it to all be in one place. Parad. Para is where it needs to be. That's what I need. You need to see this cupboard. We did have a couple of pictures of it a while back. We ran a competition one year, Simon, on MacBytes for how much storage was in the MacBytes magic cupboard.
And probably a lot less than we've got now.
A lot less than there is now. I think at the time, it was probably around 90-odd terabytes. Although there's definitely more than that now, just on two shelves. But I do remember James. Remember James Woodpad?
Mm.
James Turner. He literally put in a competition entry for this and said oodles. I was tempted to let him win with oodles. There is indeed oodles of storage. It's really pitch black here at the moment, or I'd take a picky. Let me get the dust off the shelves and I'll take a picky. Oh, Paul, it's funny you should mention that, as long as the cupboard doesn't fall over. You don't know how close you are to absolute truth there, Paul. I'm trying to think, how come that happened in the first place, Mike? Oh, I know.
It wasn't built right.
Well, it wasn't built right. No, I remember. I had the desk that I talked about today, which is like a brown colour. That's the only thing that's wrong with it. You know, I would have gone for white, but it's like a mahogany. Well, no, it's not mahogany. It's like a rich golden colour, kind of reddish. And the top was the same, only it had acoustic boarding on it. But it wasn't big enough. So the magic map by its cupboard was sat next to the desk. But when we decided, mother and I, she said, will you for sake get that desk sorted, made bigger? So I ordered, you know, the acoustic boarding for the top and then sorted out the rest of it. And the magic mark by its cupboard needed to be moved because the desk was going to be extended by about 3.5-4 foot widthways. It was also extended front to back by about 12 inches as well. So the magic mark by its cupboard had to move. But I'd done all the measuring and I could move it far enough that the door could still open. So it was moved. Then the desk was put in, and then the door was opened and everything was fine. But we have a lot of buses going past here and big lorries. And every time they do, you know, the whole thing shakes. And after a while, this cupboard seemed to start leaning. Not to the point it would collapse. Now, having said that, it's probably about 6.5 foot, maybe 7 foot tall. But it started to lean. So I opened the door and I pushed the door up to the cupboard and I put like 3 door stops on the other side of it, really heavy door stops. And the cupboard was absolutely fine. Not a problem at all. But yeah, overall, if you tried to close the door, the cupboard would start to go. And it had all these drives in it. So what we did was we just left it with the door against it and it was absolutely fine. You just checked the door stops every morning and it was fine. And we never had to close the door, which, of course, as you probably know, every door in the house has got a deadlock on it because there was always somebody in the house. So security wise, it wasn't an issue. But then Mum died and Mike and I both had to go out of the house together. Mayor had gone, so there was nobody in the house. So I said, we need to lock the office door. And Mike said, you can't lock the office door because if you try locking the office door, the cupboard might fall over. So after about 4 months of saying, no, we've got to do something here. What we did was we went out and we replaced this cupboard with one that was identical, but 3 foot shorter. And then on the top of it, we put an extra one that was 3 foot tall. So, and we also put the back on it because the other one didn't have a back on it and that was why it was wobbly. So you've no idea how close you were to actual truth there. It very nearly did collapse. It would have gone, but for the fact that we rebuilt the whole thing. And once I'd built it, it was absolutely fine. Going nowhere now. But yeah, we had to leave the door open and jam the door. So when you go to bed, I'd like leave a brush handle shoved against the door to make sure the cupboard didn't move. Ah, you have a totally different view of MacBite's headquarters now. It's not going to collapse, honestly. PCloud does come on sale. Yep, Stack Social usually have those on. One of the days it was on sale was St. George's Day, which is our like national day, which is the 23rd of August, April. The next one, unless it comes on Stack Social, will probably be either a Labour Day sale or Black Friday. But if I see anything, I will keep my eye out. I went for the lifetime 2 terabytes. Works pretty well. I would say the only issue with PCloud was actually the initial setting up. You had the same problem, didn't you? It was pretty tricky to set up initially. It would fail, and then you'd have to install it again and again and again and again. But in the end, it did. It worked out fine. What price is it right now? I did not pay £350 for a lifetime deal. How much did we pay, Mike? Was it about half?
Can't remember.
Let's have a look. Going to have to go through my mail for this one. I'm not even sure what year it was. Let's try PCloud first and see if anything comes up. No, that's encryption. Hang on, is that encryption? That's encryption too. I'd reckon it was 2008, but don't quote me. Let's, oh no, is it going back 2007? You know, I don't know why I bother filing email. I can never find it when I want it. It was April. I know it was. Right, there's February. Got anything in April? Don't tell me it was before 2017. It looks like it could be. Do you know, if I put in PCloud invoice, do you think it'd come up? Probably not. Probably not. Ah, that looks hopeful. Hang on. What's that one? This was the Black Friday deal they had. It was... How much off? Come on. How much off? I think it says 80%. The deals are worth having, put it like that. I wouldn't pay the full amount because the deals are so common. Here we go. What's that say? 87% off. That sounds about right. So I certainly didn't pay anything like that. The price was a no-brainer. Do you know who recommended that to me?
No.
And sent us the thing? It was Carl. What if searched for PCloud and Carl? Might get somewhere there. Ah, genius. Right. It was a message from Carl and it was 2019. It was the 23rd of April, 2019. And he says, worth a look if you're still interested, because we talked about it in an after hours. 75% off it was. So if it was 350... that can't be right. Put your brackets in, girl. That can't be right either. 75. No. That's right. It would be that, wouldn't it? Okay. We paid plus VAT around £100 for it instead of 350. So, yes, it was definitely worthwhile waiting. And I wrote back and I said to Carl, thank you. We both took out a 2 terabyte lifetime deal. And he said, happy to help. There you go. There's the conversation. And it was April last year. So you might even get a better deal than that via Stack Social if it comes up. But if I find it, I will let you know. It's worth waiting for the sale because it's not just like 5% off or here's £10 off. No, when they go on sale, they really go on sale. So we'll all keep an eye out for you. If we see anything about that, we'll post it into Slack. Right. Okay, then. I actually got to have more ice cream last night than was probably good for me, didn't I? We got this ice cream and it wasn't the soft scoop one. So basically you need a hacksaw to get through it. So we'd taken some out. It was in like a pot and he brings it up last night and he hadn't taken it out earlier. So it was like a brick. So we're nibbling away, the pair of us at the edges, trying to cut it in half. And in the end, he said, oh, eat the lot. Went off to bed. Quite enjoyed that, but might have been a bit sick. Oh, it's fun living here. Weather's still hideous, though. It's still hideous. But we're going to head off, and tomorrow it'll be the eve of After Hours and the eve of Devon Think. So tomorrow, you need to think before tomorrow of any questions you've got about Devon Think, and we'll pick them up tomorrow night. 2 terabytes. Yes, Paul. The lifetime deal was 2 terabytes. There was another one, wasn't there? Was it something like $37 for 500 gig? Something like that. They only seem to have the two options, though. I think it was 502 terabytes. But we will all keep our eyes out. But until tomorrow, it is good night from me.
And this is good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.